Welcome to Medicine Trails, a life in many worlds, a lively account of Mavis McCovey, a Karuk medicine woman. Our excerpts are read by her niece, Florine McCovey. This episode is titled Down River Indian Devils.
Down River Indian Devils. Sometimes medicine people can appear in spectacular forms. Daryl's uncle told me that Indian devils went through a ceremony down there in Yurok country. He said they sold themselves to the dark side, then put a burden basket on their back and walked like it was loaded down, even though it was empty. For a couple of months, they walked around and wailed and cried and mourned for the dead and wailed like the family was dying. They were mourning for their people who were going to die and would never go across to the good place. Selling themselves to the dark side means they and their whole families are doomed forever to be on the dark side. He said they have an immense power and they can have money and all the things in life that they want, they will have. Whether they work hard for it or not, these things will be given to them. From what I gather, Christians believe that if the devil gets a hold of you, he can make you do anything. The Indians I knew were talking to me about Indian devils, said that if you had faith in the Creator and you believed in Him and you were a religious person and you weren't afraid of the devil and you didn't get angry at someone for being that way, that they had no handle to get a hold of you. The Indian devils could not do anything to you if you devoutly believed that they had no power over you. As a child living upriver in Orleans, I never had much contact with Indian devils, although I was living next to someone people said was an Indian devil. She never deviled us, but I had heard the stories. Whenever people got together, some Indian devil story would come up. After Daryl and I were married and I went down the river to live with his family in Yurok country, there were people who did things like coming around and watching someone's house from the trees, and you could feel them out there. This happened to me as a young married woman, new to living in Yurok country. I don't know if they did it as a creepy joke or if they were actually trying to devil somebody. If they didn't spook me enough by just being around and watching the house when Daryl wasn't home, they would throw rocks on the roof or shake the pole that held up the radio antenna so that you would know that someone was around. They did this to try to manipulate you. If they didn't like something you did or something about you, then they would devil you and try to scare you and manipulate you to do what they wanted you to do. You usually knew who was trying to scare you, what you had done that they didn't like, and what you wanted to do. They were just raising hell with me. I don't think they were angry with me. They were just raising hell with me. When I lived down Pequon Hill, I could always feel someone watching me when I went outside. Three different times before I could make it to the outhouse, I would look up the hill and around because I could feel someone watching me. I know who that person was, and he wasn't trying to devil me. He was peeping through the telescopic sight of his rifle to watch me, though. I know what gave me these feelings because he got drunk and told somebody that he liked doing this because he could tell that I was scared. He wasn't trying to do anything really dangerous. He was just being creepy because he knew I could tell he was watching me. One time Daryl was home when we heard a noise outside, like a panther crying, though we knew it was somebody trying to frighten us. And his mother Sadie said, "Don't run outside. Invite them in." But Daryl ran out and swore at them, and she said, "No, no, no. Tell them to come in and ask them if they're hungry or if they're tired. Invite them in because they can't do anything if you invite them in. And you are being friendly if you have no animosity towards them. They can hang on to your fear and anger." Daryl had an aunt who wanted to be a white woman. She dressed like a white woman and had diamond earrings and a fox stole that she wore over her shoulder. Just really white woman looking, and she liked to believe the white man way, not believing in all these myths and what they call superstitions that we believe in. She drove clear down to my house around 11 o'clock one night when I was living at Watek, the last Yurok village at the end of the road down in Yurok country. She pounded on the door and I got up. She wanted me to make some coffee. Daryl asked her what was going on, and she said it was okay. She just wanted to talk to me. So Daryl went back to bed. She tells me, I was driving down by the old mill and almost hit a little yellow dog. I noticed that when it looked at me, its eyes flashed red, and I thought, God, that's an odd-looking dog. I looked back in my rearview mirror to see if I could see what had happened to it, because it was so odd-looking with those red flashing eyes. But I thought that the car's lights had just hit its eyes right or something. When I looked back, that dog was standing up on its hind legs, looking at me with its red eyes, and it had its paw over its mouth and was laughing at me. It just scared the hell out of me. I had to come down and tell you about it. That yellow dog was well known to be the form this devil appeared in. So much for Indian superstition. I told her Daryl's grandmother had told me not to be afraid of it, but that is a powerful Indian devil. The woman was dead, but her devil power was still in her medicine necklace. The rocks from the necklace were around and under my bed until my house burned down. I don't know if those rocks burnt up or not, but someone looked for them. I don't know if he found them. He found quite a few things, so he looked pretty closely. I think he was looking to find them and put them away again, because the power is still in them. They are still dangerous, even if they are not strung. They were made powerful by the owner's prayers. She had gone on for months, crying for the dead, in order to get that power.
Listen again to Medicine Trails. Our next excerpt is called Back to Orleans. Medicine Trails, A Life in Many Worlds, The Stories of Mavis McCovey, was produced by KIDE-FM for National Native American Heritage Month with the permission of Mavis McCovey, John Sotler, and Heyday Books, Berkeley, California. Our music melody by Dr. Kashan Laura Cooper.